Hey man, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Last Sunday evening, we began a study comparing the New American Standard to the King James Bible. And I've been asked at times what is wrong with the New American Standard, and just a study we never had done together, so we have begun it. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in your house tonight. And we do pray for those that are hurting, some physically, some emotionally, some in sorrow, some who are traveling. And Lord, I just pray you'd meet the needs of each and every family, each and every person. I pray that the Holy Spirit now would teach us, would guide us, lead us, and stir us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are what? False apostles. What kind of workers? Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an what? Angel of light. So as we begin to think here, it says here in verse 13, for such are false apostles. Well, what are apostles? Well, they're sent ones of Christ. You might want to hold your place here and then turn to me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. So there are the authentic apostles, and then there are counterfeit apostles. Sometimes we'll get orders for gospel tracts from someone, and they might write apostle so and so, or sometimes it's a woman, and it'll say evangelist so and so. Well, there's authentic, and there are counterfeits. Luke 6 and verse 12. Luke 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued, how long? All night in prayer to God. And sometimes people wonder, why did Jesus spend all night praying before he made this decision? Verse 13, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named what? Apostles. Well, I have a guess why he prayed all night, because he knew, according to Scripture, he had to choose Judas. And could you imagine choosing a betrayer, knowing that you had to walk with that one for 3.5 years? That would have been difficult. And yet, the Scripture must be fulfilled. Jesus prayed all night, but here is where he named them apostles, the ones he sent forth. So back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It says here that such are false apostles. You know, we just have it in our minds today that anyone that says they believe in Jesus, they're okay. Well, that's not okay. Hold your place here again and turn me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone that talks about the Lord is truly saved. There's all kinds of yokes that are made. I was made aware of a yoke for political sake that's being made right now between a Mormon, a Southern Baptist, a Catholic, and I don't know what the other guy was. Those are dangerous, unscriptural yokes. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. But let's look here in Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, what? Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the first word of verse 22? Many, many will say to me in that day, what? Lord, Lord. Well, they've got to be saved, right? No. Lord, Lord, have we not, what? Prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have what? cast out devils? Well, they got to be spiritual. They prophesy in the Lord's name. They cast out devils in the Lord's name. And in thy name done many what? Wonderful works, miracles. Well, look at verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. Jesus is not going to say, I once knew you, but you lost your salvation. Jesus is going to say to this group, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These people were never saved. And this just outlines exactly what the charismatic movement believes. That's why I often say the charismatic movement is nothing more but the glue that is pulling together the one world church. And they are wetting people's appetites for the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's going to come with all power and signs and lying wonders. And they are just wetting people's appetite for that thing right now. And so they seem religious, but verse 22 says many of those same people are going to stand before the Lord saying, but Lord, you've got to let me into heaven. I prophesied in your name. Lord, you've got to let me into heaven. I cast out devils in your name. Lord, you've got to let me into heaven. I did wonderful works in your name. But what's wrong with all that? They're standing there pleading their own works. Lord, you've got to let me into heaven. I've done this for you. I've done that for you. I've done this for you. That's not how we get to heaven. It's only through the precious, pure, shed blood of Jesus Christ. We don't stand there pleading our works. We stand there claiming only his work on the cross, his precious blood. And so we have a, it says verse 22, many. And tonight, there are, well, maybe not tonight. I don't know, this morning, no doubt. There were churches all over meeting with congregations of multiple thousands of people, charismatic churches. The Bible says here, verse 22, many are going to claim all these things they did for the Lord. But verse 23, he's going to say, I never knew you. So back in, once again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there are counterfeits. I know that they may look really like the real thing. When I was younger, there was a young man that got into the wrong crowd, and he decided he was going to flee the country. And he showed it to me. I have no idea where he got it, and I don't want to know. But it was a fake Michigan driver's license. And I mean, it looked exactly like the real thing, but it did not come from Lansing. I don't know where he got it. I don't know who made it for him. Like I said, I wouldn't want to know. But he had something that looked so legitimate, but it was counterfeit. Counterfeit. His picture and a fake name. I don't know where they come up with his driver's license number, but it was all counterfeit. And so many times in life, people say, well, this person just got to be saved because, I mean, they just seem so sincere. Well, what about it? Verse 13, such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Of course, they're going to look like they're working for the Lord. They are deceitful workers. It's not like the boys in black downtown with all their chains and tattoos and piercings. It's not like that. These people are going to appear to be godly people, but they're fakes. They're false. And it reminds us, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The word transforming there in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. According to Strong's, that means transfiguring or disguising. Transfiguring or disguising. And Satan can do a masterful job. According to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, transforming means changing the form or external appearance. So, I mean, they can look so legitimate, so genuine, and yet they are fake. So, how do we test them? from the Word of God. That's how we test him. Notice with me in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. The church at Ephesus faced the same thing, and they tested them. Revelation chapter 2, in verse 1. Revelation 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are what? Apostles. And are what? Not. And hast found them what? Liars. They faced the same thing. They said they were apostles, these people, but they tried them, they tested them, and found out they were not. Maybe someday you will learn Hebrew and Greek, and maybe you never will. And you're going to say, well, then how am I ever going to know about these Bible, this Bible translation issue? It can be so complex. How are you going to know? Just read your Bible. Just read your King James Bible. If you will get so familiar with the truth, when there is error, you will spot it. You will see it. You know, in history, Satan has tried at different times to raise up people, sometimes to burn the Bible, sometimes to try to rid countries of the Word of God. And in those times, Christians suffer severely. Right now in China, I don't know why we're freely trading with China. Right now, they are torturing Christians. They are closing down churches. I ordered some scissors from an office thing online, and I saw the scissors said made in USA. And so I ordered them. And then we needed some envelopes, but I couldn't see from the website where the envelopes were made, so I called one of the stores, and they said, well, that one is made in USA. I said, okay, so I'll take that. I saw some tape that was made in USA, so I said, you know, I ordered that. Well, the tape came USA. The envelopes came USA. The scissors came China. So I called up and said, you know, I ordered these scissors because online it showed they were made in USA. And the lady says, well, I'm really sorry. You know, I says, do you have any that are actually made in USA? Oh, yes, our own special brands. Are you sure? Yes. So actually that was a man I was talking with then. So I says, okay, go ahead and send me those. And he said, just discard the other scissors. Yeah, so okay. So I got the scissors the very next day in the mail. And guess what? China. I called back and I went through the whole thing. I said, you know, I wanted some scissors made in USA. And oh, I'm sorry. Just discard them. It's not worth sending them back. So now I have four pair of scissors, all made in China. And they said, just throw them away or whatever you want to do with them. So I kind of gave up anyway. They didn't even say they had any more that's made in USA. So things can be so deceptive. And right now in China, Christians are in jail. They are being tortured. And if at all possible, I know sometimes you need an item, and that item, you need it, and they don't carry anything but what's made in China. I realize that, and there are times, but whenever I can, I will not buy something from China. But that's just one place where Christians are being so persecuted for the Word of God, just having a Bible. I know China claims that they're printing Bibles there, but who's getting them? And what Bible really is it? So Satan, throughout time, has tried to burn, destroy Bibles. Other times, if Satan can't destroy the Word of God, he'll raise up scoffers who will mock the Word of God. They'll deny creation. They'll come up with ridiculous theories like evolution, which is impossible. Scientifically, mathematically impossible. I notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, you know, Satan is like a Baskin-Robbins store, or I don't even know if they're still in business. I don't know. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But he's like a store that offers all kinds of varieties. Satan has a lie of every degree and flavor for everyone. Anyone he can deceive. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the what? Last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of what? His coming. So they're going to scoff that Jesus is coming again. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. So they're denying his second coming. They are denying that he created the earth. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with what? Water perished. They deny the flood. They deny the creation. They deny the flood. They deny the second coming. They just say that the Bible is a book of fables. Well, they are the ones who are believing the fables, evolution and what other things. So I just had someone write recently and ask about it, and I'll share that whole thing another time with you. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. You know, the Bible warned us that pseudoscience would come along, false science. When they were saying that the earth is millions and billions of years old, you know what? Some Christians who were higher in education didn't want to look silly in front of the world. So they come up with things like the gap theory and all kinds of unscriptural things to try to make room for millions of years. You don't have to do that. Just flat out tell them they're wrong. They're foolish. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. That's what global warming is. That's vain babblings. The Lord said that while the earth remaineth, cold, heat, summer, and winter are not going to cease. So it's vain babbling. And oppositions of what? Science. Oppositions of science, what? Falsely so called. So it's not really science. The word science means knowledge. But today, much of what passes for science is not knowledge at all. It's not science. It's only theory, and very bad theory. But what is worse is verse 21, which some, what? Professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. We don't have to answer the scientists and all their foolishness. Just believe the Bible. Believe the Bible. They'll be shown to be wrong. You just wait. They'll be shown. Time after time, they make excavations over in the Middle East and prove what we already knew. They proved that the walls of Jericho fell flat. We already knew that. They proved that there was Abraham. We already knew that. And a host of other people, kings. But we already knew that because we believed the Bible. So Satan will try to burn the Bible. He'll try to destroy it. He'll try to outlaw it. But if he can't do that, he'll try to just make it look silly if he can. And sadly, some people fall for that. And then he'll try something else. And that's what we're talking about tonight. He will try for those who will not give up their Bible, for those who will not be convinced it's silly, he has another tactic. He'll try to subtly, gradually corrupt it, counterfeit it that way. And that's 2 Corinthians 11 there, where the deceitful workers come in. These so many translators, religious appearing men who translate the Word of God and corrupt it. They almost always say, well, we just want to update Old English words. That's what they almost always say. And that isn't the case at all. Upon closer examination, notice we'll be in Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. And here is where I say, You know what? If God leads you to be a scholar in Hebrew and Greek, fine. The Apostle Paul was indeed a scholar. But on the other hand, Peter wasn't. Andrew wasn't. They were fishermen. But just you have to do as God leads in that regard. But just read the Word of God. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is what? Pure. How can you improve purity? You can't. If you could improve it, then it wasn't pure. Every word, not just the thoughts, every word of God is pure. He is a what? Shield. Will people mock you? Of course they will. You know, we've talked about it before. Sometimes we are called the King James, part of the King James only cults. But we can very easily prove the King James Bible does not agree with the cults. But the NIV, and as we'll see, the New American Standard do agree with the Jehovah's Witness New World Translation. So, you know, they're the group, Isaiah 5:20, that calls evil good and good evil. They're calling us part of a cult. We're not following man. We are following God. We are following his words. If anyone is cultish, it's them. It's them. They are following man who says the Bible has errors. They are following man. God says every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found what? A liar. And that is where I say, if you can learn the language, learn as much as you can in life. But even if you can't, read the Bible. Read the King James Bible. And know it so well that when you read error, you'll spot it. You'll see it. Verse 6 will be found to be true. You'll find them liars. Last time we just began to mention the New American Standard is a revision of the American Standard Version of 1901. And it was revised, completed in 1971. But if you buy a New American Standard today, which I would not recommend you wasting your money, but if you have it on a computer program, that's probably more likely how you would come about it today. It'd have several translations of the Bible on a computer program. But it will not be the 1971, it'll be the 1995. It was revised again. Now, that should tell you something. And we went over that last week. But the New American Standard, when I was in school, they touted the New American Standard as the most accurate of all translations out there. And as we saw last week, that is not the case. Just a quick review. We're in Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 25, 23. Last week, I asked you how many of you would trust your soul to a weatherman. No one raised their hands. Well, the New American Standard is in the same classification or worse. In fact, it's worse because a meteorologist would know that the New American Standard is wrong. In this verse, in Proverbs 25, 23, the Bible says, the north wind, what? Driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. The New American Standard, just like the NIV, just like the Jehovah's Witnesses New World Translation, reads that the north wind brings rain. The exact opposite. Now, that's not an update of Old English words, that is making it totally opposite in meaning. And we spent much time on that last week. And then the last one we looked at last week was 1 John 5, 7. And I told you about the Jehovah's Witnesses at my door last week. And how this Jehovah's Witness lady, middle-aged, asked me, where is there a verse in the Bible that you would have to prove the Trinity. And I told her, 1 John 5:7, but I says it will not read right in your translation. And she had to ask me again for the reference, which tells me that there's so many professing Christians out there using other translations that no longer have 1 John 5:7 in its entirety. They no longer have ammunition against the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so Jehovah's Witnesses, right now, I can tell you in this area, Jehovah's Witnesses in this area don't even know where 1 John 5:7 is, that it's a verse that proves the Trinity, because in all these new translations, it does not prove the Trinity. They took it away. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. That's where the new translations will end. That's where the New American Standard ends. But the real Bible says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are what? One. It names them and says they are one. So this Jehovah's Witness lady didn't even know. When I was younger, all Jehovah's Witnesses knew 1 John 5:7 because they got it thrown at them all the time. But professing Christians today that are using these other translations don't have some ammunition. They go out to fire their gun and there's nothing there in the chamber. Someone took it away. Well, that's what the New American Standard. How can they tout the New American Standard as the most accurate translation? I wouldn't want to have that sword or that gun in my pocket when I face the Jehovah's Witnesses. I want ammo in every chamber. I want ammo in every verse. But it's not there in the New American Standard. Okay, let's hit a new one tonight. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. This is another one that even a child could tell you that the New American Standard is not accurate. A child who has been raised in Sunday school and reads the New American Standard in these verses here could tell you, well, that's not right. Hebrews 3, verse 15. Hebrews 3, 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For what? Some. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, what? Not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? So the Bible reads, verse 16, that some, not all, that came out of Egypt provoked Moses. Now, this is what the New American Standard says. It says in verse 15 here, it says, while it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? The New American Standard says they all provoked Moses. All of them that came out of Egypt. Here's what the New World Translation says, the Jehovah's Witness translation, verse 16. For who were they that heard and yet provoked to bitter anger? Did not, in fact, all do so who went out of Egypt under Moses? Well, any child in Sunday school will tell you, that's not right. Joshua and Caleb, they believed. They didn't provoke. Notice in Numbers 13. How can the New American Standard claim to be the most accurate translation out there on the market? And they still claim that. And yet they got an account wrong that in 1971 they had it wrong, and in their most recent update in 1995, they still have it opposite of the truth. You know what? I wonder if these guys ever actually read the Bible. I wonder if they actually read it through. Numbers 13 and verse 30. Numbers 13:30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us what? Go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land. So not all provoked Moses. Caleb said, "Let's go do it. God says do it. Let's go do it." Notice in chapter 14, Numbers 14, in verse 26. Numbers 14, 26. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, saying to them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save who? Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and who? Joshua, the son of Nun." The New American Standard says all who came up out of Egypt, all that Moses led out of Egypt, provoked him. And that is not the case at all. Joshua and Caleb were ready to obey. So notice with me in Psalms chapter 8. Psalm 8. "So a little child can prove that the New American Standard is not accurate." And you know, isn't that just like what we read in the Scripture? That even a child, God can use even children to show these people they're wrong. Psalm 8 and verse 1. Psalm 8 verse 1. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy what? Name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of who? Babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." Listen, these Bible translators are the enemy. They are not good men. I don't know how many times I've heard people say that. Well, they're good men. Anyone who dares to corrupt the Word of God is not a good person. We saw from Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19 last week, those people are not saved. Their names are not in the book of life. They are lost. They are 2 Corinthians 11. They are deceitful workers. They are false apostles. They haven't been sent by God to do anything. They are sent by Satan. That's what 2 Corinthians 11, it's no marvel, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. It should not surprise us. But in verse 1 here, it talks about how excellent is thy name. And that's the next thing I'd like to look at in this matter. The Lord's name is excellent. You think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means master. I'll just read these for you real quickly. John 13, 13, "Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well." Lord means master. Jesus means Savior. Matthew 1, 21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Lord means master, Jesus means Savior, and Christ means Messiah or anointed one. Notice in John 1, John chapter 1, and this is what we're going to look at in just a few moments. The New American Standard in 16 places at least removes the word Christ. Totally removes it. That's not an update of Old English. The word Christ is not Old English. In fact, many lost sinners use that name frequently. It's not Old English, but they sure blaspheme and take that name in vain. John chapter 1, verse 40. John 1, verse 40. "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the" who? "Messiah, which is being interpreted" the what? "Christ." So Christ means Messiah. The Bible tells us here that Messiah, Christ means the Messiah being interpreted as the Christ. So Lord means Master, Jesus means Savior, Christ means Messiah, anointed one. So let's quickly look at a few of these anyway. Luke chapter 23. This is one verse, Luke 23:42. This is a verse that the New American Standard, that claims to be the most accurate translation, they removed the name of Christ. Luke 23:42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, I'm sorry, this one was the word Lord. Okay. I said it was Christ. That's the next one. This one, they removed the word Lord. So the Bible reads here once again, verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The New American Standard reads, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Why remove the name Christ? The Lord put it there for a good reason. Jesus is not just a good teacher. He's not just a prophet. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. He is God in the flesh. Okay, now let's go to one where they remove the word Christ. John 6. And verse 69. John 6 and verse 69. John 6:69. And we believe and are sure that thou art that who? Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, let's back up here a little more. In verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, it got so bad. And look in the beginning of this chapter really quickly. John 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a what? Great multitude followed him because they saw what? His miracles. And so they're going to come back the next day, and he's going to pin them down. He's going to say, you're only following me because of the food. And so he's going to stop them. Brother Steve passed me along a link this week of a church down in Texas that today they were giving away $2 million worth of things. They were giving away free cars. They were giving away free computers, free flat-screen TVs, and a brand new bicycle for every child that attended the service. And the preacher tried to say that it was just an illustration of the free gift of salvation. Okay. Well, you read John chapter 6, and you're going to find out that Jesus didn't operate that way. When he found out people were only there for something, he stopped them. But it's like this. How many of those people sitting in that service were really thinking about they needed to repent of their vile, wicked, sinful lives and get saved and live for Christ? How many of those people were thinking that versus how many people were thinking, how many of those young people were thinking, I can't wait to see what color my bike is. I can't wait to see which bike I'm going to get. Boy, this is going to be great. I've never had anything happen to me. And other adults, probably 18 years of age or older, were thinking, I wonder if my ticket is the winning one for a car. I wonder, will I leave here in a brand new Mustang or Camaro or whatever they were giving away? Maybe they were giving away Mini Coopers. I don't know. Maybe something on a different scale. And how many people were thinking, oh, I hope I walk away from here with a brand new laptop computer. And some of those guys that are football nuts probably thought, oh, I hope I get one of those great big flat screen TVs. You know, what were their minds on? Well, unless they were already saved and extremely spiritual and not prone to carnal and covetousness, their minds were on whatever they were going to get, not the gospel. Not the gospel. But that's the way mankind is. But anyway, so at the beginning in John 6:2, a great multitude is following Jesus. But he begins to preach, and his preaching gets hard, right down to the nitty-gritty, and they begin to walk away. And in verse 66, we read, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the what? 12. It got that bad. A great multitude in verse 2. Then they're leaving him. They don't like his hard preaching. And it got so bad, he looked at the 12 and said, what? Will ye also go away? I mean, that was pretty bad. Will ye also go away? I like what Peter said, verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of what? Eternal life. It's in this context that the New American Standard rips this right out, verse 69. This is so important. Verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art that what? Christ, the Son of the living God. The New American Standard takes that word Christ out. You look at the context, multitude of people, but they're all leaving. The preaching gets too hard. He looks at the 12, are you going to leave me too? But Peter has this confession, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou art that Christ. The New American Standard just rips that right out. What does that do to Peter's confession? That's what we're dealing with. The most accurate? Well, that's pretty prideful and pretty full of error because they corrupted this passage. So we could go to many more passages, but because of time, I'll not. But there are 16. 16 times the New American Standard removed the name of Christ. I gave you one about Lord, but they remove it 12 times. Just take it out, the name Lord. I'd like to look at just one last one here before we close tonight. That's in Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In this passage here, they remove several words, but the word in particular we're looking at, they remove the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:14. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his, what? Blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is what the New American Standard says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. They remove the phrase through his blood. Exact same thing that NIV does. The exact same thing that Jehovah's Witness remove it. The blood. Now, who doesn't understand the word blood? Even little children understand the word blood because they see some of their own at times. That's not an old English word. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. There's no reason to take the word blood out of that verse except one. If you are a deceitful worker, if you are a false apostle, if a man is like Satan pretending to be a minister of righteousness. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the what? Precious blood. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Last week, I just pointed out 9 or 10 verses. When we were dealing with, maybe that was, I guess I'm thinking about the NIV, but last week we dealt with an issue, and I guess it was a little while ago I dealt with an issue about the NIV, but I compared, there's 10 verses in with Colossians 1:14, because I've had people say to me, well, yes, the NIV takes in the New American Standard, takes the blood out of Colossians 1:14, but it leaves it in other places. And so I ask the question, it says here, it's the precious blood of Christ. How precious is the Bible to you and to me? Would we be willing to let a translator take out the word blood in one place, as long as he left it in 9 others? And I ask you the question, if that's the case, will you let me cut off one of your fingers? I'm leaving you 9. How precious is your finger? You're not taking off one of my fingers, you would say. Every finger of yours is precious. But I don't know how many times I've had NIV people say, and it could be the same with the New American Standard, they say, well, they only took it out in one place. They probably took it out in more, but that's what they say. Well, so what? They took it out in that one place. They left it in others. Okay, let me cut off your finger. And then the NIV takes out 16 total verses. I mean, whole, entire verses. They do a lot more than that taking out, but entire verses, they take out 16 entire verses of Scripture. People say, well, that's such a small part of the whole Bible. Okay, will you let me cut off all 10 of your fingers and 6 of your toes? That's what the NIV totally took away. 16 entire verses. You say, well, no way are you going to cut off all my fingers and 6 of my toes. What about it, verse 19? The precious blood of Christ. How precious is the word of God to us? I'm afraid people who say, well, they only took it out in one place. I'm afraid the Bible is not as precious to them as it ought to be, nor the blood. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So in closing, let's go back to our original place, 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. No, if you stand up, what you'll get thrown at you is that these translators were good men. No, they were not. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are what? False apostles. What kind of workers? Deceitful workers. Transforming. Remember what that transform means is you transform yourself into a different form or guise or disguise. They're disguising themselves, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And we saw that in Matthew 7:23. Those many who are going to stand before God saying, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. And these people are going to say, but we translated in your name. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Revelation 22:19, anyone who would dare to take away from God's word, their name is not in the book of life. They are not truly saved. They are deceitful workers, false apostles. So may God help us just read the King James Bible. And when these other translations come along and someone tries to say, this is better, you will spot the error. If you know the real Bible, you'll spot the error. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on that cross for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, because it did fully pay for the sins of the whole world, that the grave was not able to contain our Savior, and he bodily arose from the grave. And we remember that today and should remember it every day. And Father, we thank you for this truth. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to realize Satan is the master counterfeiter. the master of disguise. And Lord, help us not to be taken in by these evil things going on. We know that Satan has tried to burn, destroy the Bibles. He's tried to scoff at it and ridicule it. And he's tried to subtly counterfeit it little by little, and help us to be ever vigilant, we pray. Give us wisdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.